massive
yeah.
online
what the?
Gaming.
Yeah.
Mog Nation. Keeping you in the game.
Sunny's Diner, the Star Citizen podcast for the rest of us. Joined as always by Garar, here's your host, Sunny Ravencourt.
Thank you. My name is Sunny Ravencourt. Welcome once again to Sunny's Diner, the Star Citizen podcast for the rest of us. I am joined by two very special people. One of them slightly better looking than the other. First, right. I will introduce you to Garar. G, how are you doing tonight?
Don't waste your time introducing me. They know who I am. Next.
Fair enough. I am also joined by the VP, although admittedly she says that nobody is higher in the Department of Marketing, the VP of Marketing for Cloud Imperium Games. I'm joined by Sandy Gardner. Sandy, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing great. And I guess, you're pretty good looking then.
I tend to think so, and my wife does too, but not quite at your level. Just not.
Eyes to drown in this guy has. Don't let him be modest.
You stop it.
All right.
Sandy, it's so nice of you to join us on the diner. So you are the Vice President of Marketing for Cloud Imperium Games. Obviously, the appetizer, we're going to get into all sorts of stuff, but just as an introduction briefly to yourself before we put you on the couch and dig into your past psychologically, what is it that the VP of marketing does for CIG?
I actually do quite a lot, and I'm not sure that it all comes under marketing. Because we're a crowdfunded game, it's slightly different in as much that we do customer service that's quite personalized. We have concierge, I run merchandising. we're quite big, obviously, in community, which Ben and I actually work closely together. Don't know if it's more social marketing. I guess it comes under marketing.
And you are also the host of The Next Great Starship.
I am. Yes.
Are you having fun with that?
It's actually really good fun. Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing because I have my opinions, but I can't really.
Yeah, you really don't give your opinions very much on this.
No, I don't, because it's really the judges who should be doing that.
It's funny. Sometimes I can tell that you want to interject a little bit, and you say things like, oh, so a complete workaround on that one then, right?
Yeah. Actually, David Hobbins was a great judge on the last three. I had a really good time with him. And in Austin,
I gotta be honest. It looks like you're herding cats. I'm just saying. I would love to see the outtakes where you're like, okay, look, guys, come on. You know what I mean? Stop it. I would love to see that because I know you have to do it. I can tell.
They are super distracting. Yes, because I will get all this dialogue that I have to just spit out, and then they're in the background just squeaking and squawking and saying other things. Chris Roberts interjects every 5 seconds, going, no, say this, say that. I'm like, all right, everybody on three. Be quiet.
I get the feeling that Chris Roberts may be the instigator for some of that stuff, too.
Yeah, he is. I mean, you need somebody to host it to keep the judges flowing along and
herding cats.
It is herding cats. David Hobbins was saying to me this morning, the artists are kind of like actors, so that's definitely herding cats.
That's funny.
Wow. Well, tell you what, I think that it's about time. It wouldn't be any meal at Sunny's Diner if we didn't start with the appetizer, so I'm going to go ahead and call this and say, bring out the appetizer.
Order up. Appetizers.
Okay.
That's right.
The appetizer, I'm guessing, is myself.
Well, no, I mean, I will be happy to introduce the appetizer. It's a little known secret here at the diner that while we record this live, that Sandy can't actually hear our lovely waitress bringing out the appetizer. But I will be happy to ask you the question for the appetizer. And it always is about yourself. So tell me about your gaming origins and go back to the beginning. What is your first gaming memory?
My first gaming memory, but then I might be telling my age. No, not really. I'm joking. A 386. We actually had my father's a professor, and we had visitors who came across from Sweden to stay with us, and they were complete computer nerds, and I think I was about 5 or 6 or so. And I found it actually quite fascinating. Mathematics, I was always really good at, and physics, which is kind of interesting considering I never took that up. And then my mother and I traveled a lot, so we went to Tokyo and Hong Kong. And Tokyo, I don't know if you're familiar with an area called Akihabara, which is basically all electronics. And it just used to be mind-blowing. I mean, as a kid.
Is it an area in Tokyo?
It's an area in Tokyo where it's all electronics. So I used to play these. There were little cards about the size of a credit card. And it kind of looks like a Game Boy, and you would insert the credit card into the back, and I would play all sorts of games, like kind of like Street Fighter games. I can't remember the names of them now, but kind of like League of Legends.
Is that where they get the, is the dexterity that causes them to wreak such havoc on the rest of the world later in life with gaming? Is that where it comes from?
Maybe. I mean, it's just, it's like, I remember as a kid just being mind-blowing. Like, you just couldn't get these electronics anywhere else. And I took this stuff back to the Philippines and Australia when I was a kid, and people were just going nuts over it. Like, I would sell these things for like 3 or 4 times what I paid for them. People could get their hands on them.
That's her marketing ability.
Right. I was going to say, you may not be into physics, but you learned to import-export at a young age.
Yeah, exactly. Amongst other things. They never had like colored hair, and they didn't have, you couldn't get your ears pierced unless you went to the doctor in Japan, so I used to bring over earrings and all sorts of stuff. So
you were importing into Japan and then exporting back to Australia.
This is awesome.
Yeah. you couldn't get me off that little Game Boy thing that I had. I mean, I used to love that. There was all different, but it was mainly kind of Street Fighter stuff. I mean, I kind of had a bit of a hiatus as a teenager from computers. In college, I obsessively played Doom with another girlfriend of mine who, she was doing a physics major, and we just used to go crazy over that. I mean, it just takes up so much of your life.
Now, you've brought this up a number of different times in a number of different places. It seems like that's your go-to answer when somebody asks about video games, is you talk about Doom. So, I mean, what kind of obsession are we talking about here?
You know, like I would say like 6 p.m. till probably 5 a.m. 5 days a
week. Wow.
Yes.
Did you say 5 days a week?
That's what she said.
Yeah, basically. We you didn't need to sleep back then. I remember those days. Now I go, damn it, I need to sleep. This sucks.
Oh, I know. I have a kid, and I mean, if I'm not in bed by 10, then I'm regretting it, which is just pathetic. But
I never used to need to sleep. And I am perpetually kind of, I'm not lazy now, but I guess in college I was pretty lazy, and so I wouldn't do anything until like the last week. I would always like show up at, like a week when they slated the exams. I would be like, wow, what is, you know, wait, I don't remember this. And people are like, yeah, hello. you have the books are like this thick. And I would like go, oh my God. Like, instead of playing Doom for a week, I would do 6 p.m. to like 5 a.m. and like read every textbook. And then, you know, I did all right.
Now, did you do your college in Australia before moving over to the United States?
I did, yeah. I got a what's called a first class honors. It's kind of like a master's where you write a thesis, and it's classed as like a 1A, a 1B. So basically I got a 1A, which is the highest one you can get, and I got offered scholarships around the world for a PhD.
Wow.
And I'd written, yeah.
And so what was it in? I'm sorry.
It was in marine biology.
In marine biology?
Correct.
Can I just interject and say, a smart woman that played Doom for 8 to 10 hours a day, I'm seriously gonna have to lay down after this.
my girlfriend, she still plays video games like crazy, but she works. She's just one of those, you know, we used to do all sorts of, like, you know, everything from Red Dwarf to Monty Python to, you know, we're just such nerds.
That's not nerdy. That's awesome.
No, that's nerdy. Come on, we have to embrace it.
No, dude, hold on. I was in the Army for 11 years. I jumped out of airplanes and served in combat, and I too, do this whole scenario. And that's not nerdy. That's awesome.
Yeah, I would call it, yeah. But me and my girlfriend were both Geminis. I mean, she's just the one I distinctly remember because we would know all of the lines from all Monty Pythons. And what else did we watch? Like Fawlty Towers, all sorts of like...
Fawlty Towers.
Yeah, I do remember, you know, John Cleese, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of English humor we liked.
Is that common for Australians?
Yes, I think it's common for Australians. We were big into like Star Trek, obviously Star Wars.
So, you know, I grew up in Canada, and so Fawlty Towers and Monty Python and things like that are very common for Canadians too.
Yeah, we just, you know, everything, like, satirical.
Is Australia a Commonwealth country, or is that just New Zealand?
No, we're a Commonwealth country.
So you get to play in the Commonwealth Games, the Little Olympics?
Yeah, we do, yeah.
See, Gruar has no idea what we're talking about here. There's, like, a whole nother Olympics for a small set of countries.
You can't say Little Olympics. That's like short bus comedy.
I'm
just saying, don't say it like that. Say the smaller generalized Olympics or something. Come on, man. Think about people's feelings.
Australia is the biggest per household. They have the most consoles of any country in the world.
That country rocks.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And yet they are constantly in the news for the limitations and the censorship as far as gaming goes.
Yeah, we are kind of a strange bunch. I'm not quite sure what that's about.
How well is Star Citizen going to go over in Australia?
Well, at this point, it's been going really well. I was talking to the organizers of PAX Australia, and they were saying, like, of all the PAXs, the Penny Arcade Expos, mm-hmm. Australia is the biggest purchaser of merchandise.
Really?
Yeah.
The biggest purchaser of merchandise of all the PAXs. That's pretty much the purpose of PAX. So right. I would say that they're winning, right?
Right. Well, they do that. For us, they are the third largest spend per person of all countries.
Really?
We have 99 countries who pledge for Star Citizen.
So would number one be the United States?
Yep.
And would number two be, and I'm guessing here, Germany?
Correct.
Aha. Gee, would you have gotten that?
Yes, I would have. Thank you very much. I hear your condescending tone.
I thought I'd just kind of lord that one over you, but I'll trust that you would have said Germany. I mean, I'm getting that from largely from the next great starship. It seems like every other group is Germans, which makes a lot of sense with my, you know, belief that they're superior engineers.
Yeah, it was pretty funny when Chris did the first press tour in October 2012 before we launched the crowdfund. And he phoned me from Germany and he was like, well, you know how people say they're big in Japan? And he's like, well, I'm big in Germany. Because, like, all the press brought boxes from 1990 to sign, and they were just beside themselves.
Oh, really?
He was coming back to the industry.
So they brought privateer boxes and Freelancer and things like that.
He said they went berserk. Video, photos, signage. I mean, Gamescom last year, I don't know if you saw the footage, but it was bizarre. I was like, I kept trying to go to, I only needed to go to the bathroom. I was like, but I never got there. It was like 3 hours of signing things, photographs, everything. People's T-shirts, visors. I was just... It was really something else.
So we're... I mean, I assume then that they were recognizing him on site then over there.
Yeah.
That is amazing. And that's got to be a cool feeling for a guy like Chris Roberts to be able to, you know, because you can tell that he poured so much of his life into those games in the 90s. And then this far in the future to come back and see that kind of impact on a whole foreign country has got to be a surreal experience.
Yeah, I really hadn't quite seen what it was about until we went to Gamescom.
Okay, so you, in college in Australia, you got a master's in marine biology. Yeah. And then at some point you ended up at UCLA. So yeah. How did that happen?
Well, where I wanted to go was the Galapagos Islands to do my PhD off Ecuador. And I got accepted. They actually sent me an invitation. But then I got booked on a television show, a scuba diving show, going around the country. And somebody just said to me, well, why don't you do a business degree instead? Because I had all these other businesses going on. And they're like, you're just really not cut out to do a PhD. What are you going to do? I can't see you stuck in a lab. This was my professor and the head of the department at my college. I said, yeah, maybe you're right. And at that time, I had gone in there with dark sunglasses, this crazy fluffy jacket. I mean, I used to dress pretty loud because I had a fashion company at the time as well. And I thought, yeah, maybe you're right. So I applied for scholarship for a master's in business in Sydney, Australia. And I was accepted like as one of the youngest MBAs. And also because they take people from, like I was the only one from a fashion and entertainment background. Hmm. Everybody else was kind of finance and banking and...
Which makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, totally makes sense. And the first subject was marketing, and I just distinctly remember, because I had no idea what they expected. And I basically put everybody's desks together, and I had all these, like, you know, Australian supermodels walk all over the desks in my fashion clothes that I designed, and like everybody was like, what is going on? Like everybody's speechless. I was like, oh my god, is this not what you do? I was like, so I had no idea. And so then when I sat down and everybody was like, okay, that was interesting, everybody else did this like PowerPoint presentation and pie charts and graphs. I was like, oh man. Oops. Well, okay. And then I applied at UCLA to do the last part of it because I was interested in entertainment. So,
what was your thesis on in business school?
It was international marketing, moving into Australia, moving into the Asian markets at the time. And for vice versa, we had a lot of influx of China into Australia at that point. And I think we actually implemented like new visas and stuff. I've been gone so long, I don't know what it is now. But mm-hmm. Yeah, it was basically international marketing.
So you have not one but two masters then?
Correct. Yeah.
Well, that's impressive. And I don't know, you're going to school right now. I assume that more or less every day is Australian supermodels walking on desks, right?
I'm going to tell you something. You have no idea how awesome that would be to have that happen one day in class. So I got, you know, Sandy, for shock and awe, you definitely won that battle. I would have given you an A and told you I don't want to see you again until next semester. That's what I would have done.
Yeah. The lecturer was female though and quite conservative, but she still gave me a high distinction. It was kind of interesting.
Well, I mean, and thinking outside of the box like that's awesome, and I love that. Again, going back to being in the military, I've always been a fan of thinking outside the box and kind of coming up with a new, you know, standard. And for you to put that together and bring that in, that's awesome. I dig it.
Yeah, in law school, a professor spilled his coffee once. That was pretty exciting. That's about all I got.
I did. I really wasn't. I guess after college, I didn't do it because it takes up a lot of time. Gaming does.
Mm-hmm. You mean like 8 hours a day for 5 days a week?
Yeah. Like it's like a full time job. That's 40 hours a week, right?
And seriously, Doom of all games, like, is there a less gentle game than Doom? I mean. That's a hardcore game. You went right into that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm a pretty extreme personality. So, nerdy on the one hand, and you know, nice and fluffy. But in the office, they don't call me nice and fluffy. Certainly not on customer service. I mean, I'm rude and I'm not mean, but I'm definitely to the point.
Is that Sandy, what that... I'm sorry, go ahead, G.
I was going to say, Sandy, if anybody does say you're nice and fluffy, just give them a really quick tiger paw to the throat. That's what I would say. Rear naked choke for the win, you know? Sorry, I'm obviously the violent one of the two, so I'll say.
Right. Well, most Australians play sport, and, you know, I guess I put mine into... playing video games.
I've seen pictures of you with a surfboard, though. Do you surf?
Yeah, I can surf. I'm a pretty decent surfer.
I surf.
You know, I'm not really great at things that take a lot of physicality and height. And in Australia, women are super competitive at all sports. And that just wasn't my thing. So playing computer games was more fun for me.
Yeah, I dated a girl from New Zealand when I was in college, and she pretty much put me to shame in the sports department. I think she was more or less disgusted by my love of video games, so you two would not have that in common, I would say.
Yeah, no, I didn't really have that in common with Aussie women. Surfing, that's different. You don't need to... Weight doesn't really, and stature doesn't really help you become a good surfer.
Just finesse.
Yeah, just good balance and
right.
Yeah,
it seems like a little bit more casual than some of the Australian sports that I see them play, especially the one where they're rowing that boat where there's like 15 people in a boat going through the surf.
Oh my god, they make you in Australia. They make you do every single sport there is, and I think that's when I played my most. I was the nerdiest and played video games the most because I wasn't good at that. I'm just like I don't get why I'm doing this. I was horrible at rowing. I just can't. I'm not good at that. I don't know what it is.
Well, and that takes you up to... Well, I guess not necessarily takes you up to... I'm sure there was some time in between going to school at UCLA and then working for Cloud Imperium. But that's more or less your professional life. I mean, at that point, were you pretty much done with gaming until you got the call from Chris?
Yeah, pretty much. I never really got into like console gaming. I can't say I really. No, not really.
So how did you get the call from Chris? How did you end up working for Chris Roberts?
Well, I've known Chris for a long time. I've known him since I first, even when I was studying at UCLA. I knew Chris. And I remember the first time meeting him on a film aspect, I just was like, wow, you are, I mean, his gaming. I mean, I haven't seen somebody. I mean, I had a lot of friends. Like I said, my girlfriend was a major in physics, so they did all sorts of crazy formula and all this sorts of stuff. And Chris Coding is like, I mean, the guy's pretty brilliant. It's quite impressive.
Well, back in the day, you pretty much had to be.
Yeah, I mean, that just kind of stuck in my mind. And he's actually had the idea for Star Citizen for a long time. It's just he, I guess, wasn't ready to create it, so to speak. But he'd mentioned it to me a couple of times. So... he was throwing around other ideas, and I just said to him, I think you should really try this one. Just the way that he pitched Star Citizen to me, and it wasn't called Star Citizen at the time, it didn't actually have any name. I said, you should really give it a shot to do it yourself. Why not? I think it's a really brilliant idea. And I guess at the time, what was on at the time? I think Double Fine had just done their crowdfund.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember if Project Eternity came right before we launched. Maybe in the timing. And so Chris said, well, do you think we could maybe go to Kickstarter or something? He kind of felt it was a little risky. And I said, well, you know, what he does is pretty unique. Nobody else can kind of do what he does. So if no one appreciates you for Star Citizen, then I'm sure you'll get a job. If you would like to do that, I'm sure somebody's going to give you a job if you don't want to go back into film and you really would like to go back into games. But I think if it speaks to me and I feel like I've got a pretty good instinct on what people like, even though I hadn't been a gamer for a while, then we should give it a shot. And then he said, well, would you like to do the marketing and come up with an idea for getting it out there? And I said, sure.
And here you are.
Exactly. I didn't really have a title back then. It was just kind of help me with the plan, execute it, and let's just see where it goes. I actually didn't think that I would have a job with Cloud Imperium.
You getting a title one of the stretch goals? Give Sandy a title?
No. Well, it just kind of evolved because I was doing customer service during the campaign. I would always be on Kickstarter, kind of interacting with the community. And there was a lot of, wow, she's a model or an actress. I mean, I've done so many things in my life. I'm talking like it's over. And I was like, wow, what does she know about gamers and the community? And it's not like I really advertised. I didn't even get on LinkedIn until just recently because there were so many people saying, hey, join me on LinkedIn. I was like, what is this LinkedIn thing all about? Okay, I'll get on there. And I mean, as an actor or a model, you don't need any of that. You don't just say, hey, I've got a master's in business and international marketing. And I wrote a thesis in marine biology. Does that help? So... yeah, it just then evolved into, I guess I got along really well with all of the, like, Razer and AMD and NVIDIA, Cytec, a lot of partners. We just started making good relationships, and I guess I was the default person because there wasn't any other person at the time.
And, you know, this actually leads perfectly into the main course, which I think that we are going to bring out right now. So let's bring out the main course.
Order up. Main course.
So going with the crowdfunding, given the unorthodox financial structure of your company, well, not your company, but the company that you work for, Cloud Imperium Gaming, which might as well be your company from the way that the upbringing start with such a quiet start, and then through crowdfunding, such major success. How does that kind of structure affect a marketing strategy?
Well, it's interesting in terms of, I'm always very mindful of the community. For example, I flew to Manchester. I got this super cheap ticket to Manchester. And Chris is like, why didn't you fly business? And I said, well, I don't know. I saw this $900 ticket and I thought, well, I'll just fly economy because I don't want the fans thinking. And he's like, well, fans don't even know because you got to like be comfortable. I said, yeah, but you know, I think it just shows in what you do. Obviously, there's people who say, well, for example, with the Next Great Starship, people are like, wow, is this what they're spending their money on? But I put together a whole bunch of sponsors for that. So we're not really spending much at all. So it changes marketing in as much that we don't really spend a lot of dollars in the way that other companies spend on marketing. I get a lot of calls from there's always buzzwords, SEO, strategic, mm-hmm. something of broadening your reach through the Google sites and things. And I'm a big believer that the community speaks louder than all of those kinds of things. I think there's nothing more powerful than word of mouth. If my friend's going to say to me, oh my God, you have to check out this game, it's awesome, then I'm pretty much sold. So we have a really good conversion rate of people who show up to the site and register and then pledge, much higher than any free-to-play or obviously any free-to-play. That wasn't a very good argument. But but we do have a really good conversion rate of people pledging when they show up and see the stuff. So I'm guessing that is because people share their YouTube videos. There's a word of mouth, the Facebook, the Twitter. I mean, we have some of the old school fans who are like, I don't like those social ways of doing things, but it's free. Facebook's free. Twitter is free.
Are you at a point with the game development that you're actively making a push to really try to increase the popularity of this, or are you sort of taking a step back as the early part of the game is developing?
I kind of go by instinct on it, in as much that I'm not like a pushy salesperson. So I would be the person that you see on the showroom floor that would be like, well, I believe that I have a good product, so I'm not going to chase you down for it.
The product's going to sell itself.
Yeah, and I feel like my instinct is that, you know, we don't have enough of the game out yet for me to make a decent push. My plan was to have a couple of hundred thousand, actually 100,000 people when I first made a plan for Chris back in June 2012, was to have 100,000 people who were really evangelists for Chris Roberts, who would kind of set the foundation of just a solid foundation of people who really love his work and love his games and will be there and keep. So when other people show up, they're like, wow, okay, this game's got credibility, and there's a foundation there of people who are interacting and having a good time and enjoying the game. But actually, we have a lot more people than I thought we were going to at this stage. And we have a lot of new people. And the demographic is actually skewed a lot younger than I thought it was going to be.
Really?
Yeah, initially when we closed the campaign, our average age, and it's based on our sample, obviously, but we have huge sample sizes, more than probably political campaigns do, was in early 30s, around 34, 33.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's in the 20s.
Oh, wow. So a significant drop.
Yep. It's a significant drop.
Now, Gerard, you're always talking about how you feel that this community is different than some of the other communities that you've taken part in.
Right, totally. I think the way that people react to any change is impressive to me for this community. Being, for instance, I'll use SWLTOR as an example, or even WOW. In two instances, if you put something up, like say, for instance, the hangar module... And then the dog fighting. The hangar module's out, and everybody seemed to embrace it. There was a little bit of, oh, my God, this and that, but it was, you know, nice. And then, you know, the dog fighting module, hey, we got to push it back. Now, in a SWLTOR or a WoW scenario, they would have been burning bridges in their hometowns and setting fire to supermarkets and you know, beating puppies with hammers. I mean, that's how bad they are. But
right.
But in this community, in our community, the people just, they just... embrace it, and they're like, well, it's not ready, you know, and that's refreshing for me, totally refreshing for me, because you just do not get that in this day and age when it comes to gaming.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Sandy, if you had to guess, I mean, what causes something like that with this particular community?
Well, I think, I mean, I won't say that it's, I would say it's the majority of the community who do that, and we definitely, I mean, we have our moments, because when something is released, we have a few people go, whoa, you know, F this, blah, 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 you suck, what kind of marketing campaign are you running? And they go on to me, and I think they don't know that it's me, and then I'm like, okay, well, I run marketing, so, but that's okay, I don't take offense to it. Sorry, there's just somebody. Yeah. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Sorry, there's Paul Rendell, one of our programmers, just...
Hi, Paul.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too, Paul.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye,
you, Paul.
So, I think that, yeah, I mean, in the age of entitlement, everybody wants everything now. It's just kind of how it is. But in reality, I mean, GTA 5 took how long to come out?
Right.
These things take, I mean, what was the one, oh my gosh, my brain is completely blitzing, probably because it was so bad, and I don't really like saying that on record, but it was really bad. I tried it, not even online. They took 7 years to do it.
Oh. You know,
it was awful.
Are you talking an MMO, or are you talking
It was space. It was space. It was, anyway.
It wasn't EVE Online. What's that other one?
Oh, my God.
It's so bad that you erase it from your memory bank,
exactly.
So you don't have to think about it.
They took years to bring it out. And that the trailer looked pretty good. But the actual game was such a letdown.
Which is pretty much 90% of the games that are coming out these days.
That unfortunately seems, yeah. G's right on it. It seems like there's been a slew of that recently.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
the free-to-play models and all the things, it just seems like they're just grasping, where Star Citizen seems like it's about quality of product, and I think that's why, I know you get the naysayers, but it's so minimal compared to today's normal setting for a game, you know, coming out, and people that have invested so much into it, I think is why. And that's remarkable. So, it, you know, for the amount of money that's been raised, for the amount of people and everything, it's just... it's mind-boggling to me that so many people can just be professional-minded and be like, you know what, this game is awesome. I will wait till it's done. Don't care. And I love that. And Chris, we trust. Woo!
Yeah, I do think that it's... I mean, for me, if I was coming to this... Okay, first of all, I should have played Wing Commander, but I never did, so that's my bad. But But
you're gonna get torched for that one.
I didn't either. I didn't either, Sandy. It doesn't matter. We're just right. We're just as big into it.
But I think the concept of being part of something that just didn't exist, but then you play a part in making it happen, and it's something so big and grandiose and cool that that's meaningful to a lot of people. I think that speaks to a lot of people, because in today's world, it's really hard. I mean, I just came back from London and everything's so homogenous. I mean, there's Starbucks on every corner, and yeah, okay, there's all buildings and stuff because London's old, but it's like, what's something new that's being created by somebody like a Chris Roberts that the people are giving power to create? I mean, it's just too hard, and it's really hard in today's world to do that. How do you do that?
Well,
how can people be part of something that's not corporate and
exactly
that speaks to them? I mean, we can turn around stuff really fast, which is scary and exciting at the same time. We can put out a poll and react really quickly, whereas if right. I'm going to go through one of our hardware partners, they take weeks to clear things.
And I think it's amazing that you guys use the polls. I don't remember how much money we had gotten to, and it came out, okay, what do we do now? Do we keep taking money and keep going, or do we stop, or do we... And the fact that the people said what they wanted, and that's what you guys did. I love that. That is my favorite part about your company, and you know, just the whole frame of it is the fact that it's about the community. It's about the game. It's about that one thing that everybody wants to see, and I think that's amazing.
Yeah, I think we're going... I mean, I have complete confidence the game's going to be awesome. The dogfight's going to be awesome. I'm sure there's going to be some hiccups. There just is. We have thousands of people. I mean, I think it's probably bigger than most pre-alphas ever. I don't know. I don't have that much experience playing alphas, so... But we have bucket loads of people, so I'm guessing there is going to be... Well, it wouldn't be our community if we didn't crash the servers a couple of times.
Well, yeah, you've got to do that. That's important.
Right.
That's part of the growth process.
Yeah.
Sandy, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask this question. And I think that you are the one person that may be able to give some insight. We did a whole show on the community and the crowdfunding aspect of it. And one of the big questions was, given how much Star Citizen has relied on word of mouth and building this community and fostering this kind of, you know, this is our game type of development, as the game approaches launch, will we see Star Citizen go through more of a big picture corporate style marketing campaign that you'd see out of a major, major release, commercials and magazine stuff and things like that?
I wouldn't say no to the possibility, but I wouldn't take it out of our dollars, so to speak. I would say Allstate, for example. Was it Allstate or State Farm? One of the insurance companies had already approached me to sponsor a commercial, for example. I'm not saying I would use that particular company, but if one of them wanted to do some product placement and sponsor us to be in the Super Bowl, to be in Super Bowl ad, I don't know if I would say no to that.
So, you're really, of the money that's been given for the crowdfunding, I mean, that's not something that you have seriously budgeted away, like a third of it for massive marketing campaigns.
Yeah, it's so interesting because I've been trying to hire staff and they're all like, well, what's your budget? Because they come from traditional marketing.
Right.
I'm like, well, I don't really have a budget.
That's awesome.
And they're like looking at me going, what is she talking about? What do you mean you don't have a budget? Well, I don't have a budget. I kind of create things. For example, I'll do a kind of cost-benefit analysis on Gamescom and look at, okay, we have to fly 5 staff, 4 of them economy, 1 of them business. But at that point, you say, well, how much... I would have to fly Chris to something like Gamescom anyway, because you can't realistically... You have to keep the momentum going for this game.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to keep continually being in the public eye, in the press, in ways that... different kinds of ways. So that is not really a marketing spend, so to speak, because what we get from that is tenfold.
Right. And I think that it's fair to say that you are, I mean, you are yielding returns directly from that kind of momentum.
Yeah, I mean, we basically went from, I think, Gamescom on mid-August, we hit 16 million up on stage, and then 3 months later, we were at 32.
Yeah, that's nice. You can look at a nice little chart.
Yeah.
You can say, oh, look, we went to Gamescom, and our little number went up to here.
I just want to point out that you guys came to Dragon Con, too, and that had something to do with it.
Yeah, there you go. No,
it's right. It's no, I'm joking.
It definitely does, because when you keep going, it basically started at, like, around the E3 time, because we hit 10, and that was a big deal. And we kind of pushed past the biggest crowdfund in the world. And then it just kind of snowballed. We had a commercial, and then it just kept... We launched the new website, and we keep gaining momentum, which means that more people see Star Citizen, because you might miss it the first time on your Facebook feed or shared by your friend, but if it's 10 times in a row over 2 weeks, you're unlikely to miss it.
Right. And I noticed one thing, too, is we had a television set up, and we were playing videos of the games that our community plays. And during that, we had a really nice long video of Star Citizen and actual footage from the game that we had last year. And to see the people that had never heard of Star Citizen stop, watch that, and go, is this a movie? Like, no, that's actual video game footage. And they just couldn't comprehend it. And then their next question was, what is this? And then, you know, Ben and Dave showed up. We had that private room that we had in. And I thought I was going to seriously have to fight people because we couldn't let them in. And they were furious that they couldn't get in. I'm like, we're at max capacity. I can't let another person in. And I felt bad, but, you know, it was just that quickly. I mean, people just kept crowding and crowding and crowding, and they kept watching the videos and stuff. And the product speaks for itself, is the point of my rant.
All right. Yeah, that's why it's a nice thing for me to... I mean, my marketing is only as good as the product. Yes, I have to do a good job and be smart. It's not quite as easy as it maybe looks. I get people going, well, your marketing sucks. I'm like, okay, well, I'm not sure everybody can be the biggest crowdfund. Even if you have Chris Roberts, there is still method to the madness that happened last year, for example.
No, I would say that the success speaks for itself, and I mean, who cares if they think that? I mean, your little ticker keeps going up on a daily basis, so that's all you can ask for.
Right. Yeah, a lot of new people. Basically, every day I see the stats, and it's at least 50% new backers, which is awesome.
Yeah, that is that's an excellent stat. That was one of the concerns that we had is, the viewers don't see a lot of those statistics, and so you have these questions like, is the money coming from repeat backers? Is it like old money, so to speak, or is it new money?
No, it's a lot of new money, which is sometimes why I mean Chelsea and customer service, the concierge, we have some backers who have spent thousands of dollars, but sometimes they whine and complain and they get a little entitled, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, are you asking for a refund? They're like, you wouldn't refund me. I said, well, actually, the new backers are a way larger percentage than the old backers. And I'm not disrespecting the older backers. I'm just saying that at some point I can't keep pandering and saying, okay, I'm going to give you lifetime insurance on this and backdate this and give you a golden ticket here. And it's like, yeah.
Well, I'm sure that building that solid gold statue of Ben Lesnick outside did not go over well with them.
Yeah, right. Ben's now that he's in LA, it's great. I love having Ben in our office.
No, he was an awesome dude. Yeah, he was a riot to interview. We had a great time.
While we're in this area here talking about spending money, let Chris know if he ever wants an ex-Army sniper as a bodyguard when he becomes famous, that I am open to, you know, discussion about it. Just let him know.
We have mentioned it a couple of times in this office because there are some exuberant fans.
Yes.
That way.
Well, I have a black belt in jiu-jitsu. I was a sniper in the Army for 11 years. I've got 3 tours of combat. I'm pretty well versed. Let him know. I'll send him my resume.
I love it.
I thought you were going to be my bodyguard. I am.
You're nowhere near as cool as the Chris. I'm just saying. I want my shirt, damn it.
We're going to get those shirts. In Chris, we trust. Those are the ones. And a Sonny's Diner in game, right?
Yes. Sandy, we need this. Just small planet. Just stick a diner in it. Call it Sonny's Diner. We'll call it even.
Yep.
Tell Chris I'll beat up 10 people on his list. I think it's a fair trade.
Sandy, we got you for about 5 more minutes here. We got to bring out the dessert because we want to hear your wall of crazy. So let's bring out the dessert.
Order up. Dessert.
Okay. Now, play with us here. If you had unlimited resources, and I'm talking unlimited here, how would you market Star Citizen?
Well, there's a lot of things that I would like to do, and there's all these in-fiction commercials, shows, in-game stuff that I would love to do. People would share these things on YouTube like crazy. We've got all sorts of flair and bling slated. It's just takes a while to do. If we had, I'm not sure if we had loads of money, we'd get it done faster. Maybe we would. Yeah, we would have, you know, in RoboCop where you see the television show on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's, well, we are going to do these in fiction commercials. They're about 30 seconds long. And then the Weekly Citizen is in fiction. There's all this stuff that's going to be in game, but I would love to do it sooner, and it would market Star Citizen really cleverly up to game launch.
You could have like an entire in fiction show on network television that's subtly marketed Star Citizen.
Well, I'm working on it.
You're working on that?
Yeah.
Sonny, stop drooling, Sonny. Jeez.
That's a crazy idea.
Yeah, I'm working on something pretty out there. And just a way to get it done. I think I can get it done smartly. But with unlimited resources, I could get it done pretty fast.
Yes, you could.
But without that, I could still get it done pretty smartly. I actually haven't seen. I've been looking at things like Halo, for example, how they did there. I think that cost them $10 million. I can't remember. Chris sends me all the different ways that people have launched come game launch, where they put together kind of commercials or little stories, movie style.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen one yet that I'm like, that is what I'm talking about.
Well, so that was largely his plan with the whole Robert Space Industry website.
Right, right. I'm just talking about taking that to a whole other fun level.
Yeah, she's talking about taking it to the next step. You know, like, you're yeah. still down here in the bronze section. We're talking gold section now, bro.
Yeah, it would be like super, super cool. I think people would just dig it. I think a lot of people also who are more casual gamers would be totally into it.
You know what's cool, Sandy, I think, is the one hurdle you don't have to jump is you don't have to make a game that's subpar look pristine, because the game looks pristine on its own. I love the fact that you can say that. You know what I mean? Even in pre-alpha, you have enough material and enough great footage that you could make a mind-blowing commercial, so to speak. And you don't have to, hey, can you make me something special to really church this up and give it some shiny? It's all the way it needs to be, and I love that.
Yeah, I mean, I love the sci-fi genre, and I miss things like Firefly. I wasn't so in love with Battlestar Galactica. It was okay for me. Don't shoot me for that. I'm definitely looking at everything from costume within these shows to storyline to how we can amalgamate that with things like Squadron 42. I don't want to give too much away, but cool ways to market it.
Right. Last year at Dragon Con, I met a guy who made armor, and he said, any armor that you bring me a picture of, a three-dimensional picture, we can make it to wear. And we had this crazy idea that sometime around this year, you know, approaching, you know, Star Citizens and trying to get some kind of armor looks and having suits made by this company and wearing them in the parade at Dragon Con for Star Citizen, because I thought that would be amazing. But I ended up, the guy that told us he could do all this, I researched him and he was a fraud, and I was very upset. Well, I mean, I had some pretty high hopes, you know. I was like, wow, could you imagine us rendering armored flight suits from Star Citizen just from pictures and then wearing them in the parade as Star Citizen characters, you know? You know, obviously there's no characters, so to speak, as of yet that we know of, but we just were really thought that would be cool. But unfortunately, like I said, the guy couldn't come around with it and made me very sad.
Well, there will be. I'm thinking pretty big, so we'll see how big I can hit it. But I would love to. I mean, I just went to a party in London where they were all wearing Star Wars stuff, and I was just like, it was an adult party. And I'm like, I would love for Star Citizen to kind of do that.
Evolve into that, yeah.
Well, Squadron 42 is going to have a lot of those character introductions for us, is what most of us think, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would love some just really cool characters that have a place in your consciousness for a long time to come.
Right. Would you guys sponsor the mission to Mars if you knew there was a coin flip chance that the thing crashed and everybody died?
Holy moly, is that a trick question?
I don't know, I'm just curious. I mean, like, the question is really, like, how risky would you guys get with your marketing?
Oh, right. I was just like, I just heard the word died. I'm like, what? I would like to call it calculated risk, but yeah, I don't really believe in luck, so to speak.
So you seem too calculated for me. I think that this whole wild Doom gamer is a facade. You're too smart for this.
Well, no, I can be pretty wild. I was the ambassador for a fashion label called Wild Child in Australia for a long time. I think I modeled for her since I was like 13 till 21.
The modeling thing is awesome. And can I say, just from the videos, and this is not me trying to be anywhere weird, but you have nice arms. No, really. Women that wear sleeveless dresses most of the time don't have the right arms for it, and you do. And that's kudos. You have nice arms.
Thank you. Guys, probably surfing and yoga.
There it is, the yoga. I can't do yoga. That stuff's rough on a 250.
I would love to
pound.
See you do yoga, G.
I do katas and things like that through martial arts, but yoga, just, man, I can't do the I can't do it.
I did actually invite Chris one time and persuaded him to come along with me, and he's like, never take me to that again.
Because he hurt for like a year.
Did you try to squeeze him into a pair of yoga pants?
He went out halfway and just went... I was like, okay, yeah, maybe our friendship. Okay, but no, that's not
that. Was that straining it?
I never come to a yoga class, and again, that's fine. But.
Well, there's our title for the show. Chris Roberts hates yoga.
I love it.
I don't know if he hates it, but he wasn't
Chris
so great,
Roberts but. Hates doing yoga?
Yeah, that's probably, yeah.
we have something else in common. It sucks.
Sandy, thank you very, very much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate you being on the show, and we got an excellent look into the behind-the-scenes marketing and strategy of Star Citizen, and it could only have come from you. So thank you very, very much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Gee, you got any final words to Sandy before we kindly let her go?
Sandy, it's a pleasure to have met you, because I first time I talked to you was through the email when we were trying to set the DragonCon thing up, and I'm looking forward to maybe bumping into you today, this year in DragonCon, and buy you a drink. You can tell me some of the wall of crazy.
Yeah, we can leave the wild part for a drink.
Right.
I don't buy it. Don't buy it till I see it.
All right. Well, you might not want to see it.
That's true. I'm pretty tame.
Trust me. I, again, military background, you ain't going to see do anything that's going to shock me, I promise.
All right. Okay, I'm just saying.
Thank
Sandy,
you very
it's been
much.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sandy.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. See ya. Well, gee.
She was way cooler than I realized. I was worried, Sunny, that she would be way too businesslike. What a amazement.
She has a resume. It's impressive, and she doesn't put a lot of that out there,
right,
as far as her intellectual achievements, but you don't wander into two masters in completely unrelated fields by accident.
Yeah, you have to be top of your game to do that, and I get that. That's pretty... I'm impressed. She just impressed me. I thought she was God's honest truth. I thought she was the pretty girl they put there to smile and nod and everything like that, and I have a complete and total different outlook. She was very smart and very amazing to talk to. That was pretty awesome.
I would be unsurprised if a lot of people didn't think that.
I think a lot of people think that
Miss Gardner is put out there to be, you know, a pretty face to host things like the Next Great Starship and just kind of, you know, wear a pretty dress and be there. You know, but clearly, this girl is on the top of her game and knows what she's doing. I find it funny that the veteran backers put that kind of pressure on the marketing department, though.
Right. I don't find that a surprising. I don't at all. Because there's such a feeling of entitlement by some of these people that, I mean, I realize you've spent $10,000.
I mean, you spend a lot of money on a game, and I think you are going to feel entitled.
Well, you're entitled to the things you paid for, not for the things you didn't pay for. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think that's one thing that needs to be remembered, you know?
It's going to be something that only she would have to deal with, you know?
That's such a unique
position for her to be in.
And her ideal way, or the way that she views the marketing for this game, she is perfect for that position. I mean, just the way that she's thinking outside of the box, she's realizing what's new, what's hot, what works, what doesn't. You know what I'm saying?
I was surprised to get the answer to the question that we've always wondered.
She just didn't even know gray area whatsoever. Here it is. Take it.
Like
Here
when
it
is, we when it. We said, are you guys going to be pushing into like the Call of Duty type of advertising? And she's like, not on our dime, we're not. You know, and I thought,
I love
wow, that
yeah.
is ballsy. Is that not ballsy?
That's brilliant is what that is. That's brilliant. Because I think the reason why they feel that way is because they know right now at this present point in time, they are a success. If they get no more growth at this point, they're a success. They can say, we succeeded. Look at what we've done.
Yeah.
So they have achieved a position to where they do not need your help. You want them to help you. It's kind of where it's at right now.
It's impressive.
It is mind blowing.
And then when she talks about, you know, not having to be a forceful salesperson, well, you have a luxury of being able to behave that way when, like you said, you're not shilling some piece of crap to people. You know, you're not trying to lie people as you put to church up the demo so that they have something to see here. It's like you don't have to do that. You're able to honestly tell somebody, look, I'm not going to sell you ice cubes here. I'm going to show you the product and you're going to like it. and this is your product. So,
exactly.
I mean, on that note, I think that it's about time we brought out dessert and then wrap this thing up. What do you say? Does that sound good?
Sounds good to me, my brother.
All right, let's bring out dessert.
Order up dessert.
Okay, so in dessert for last week's doggy bag. Oh, pardon me. Did I say dessert? I meant doggy bag. Let's bring out the doggy bag.
Order up, doggy bag.
Yeah, that's... I'm a little distracted, what can I say, right?
Well, why not, dude? I mean, it's... You do not get opportunities to speak to people at this level on a podcast for the most point. You know what I'm saying? Try getting somebody...
No, we're lucky.
Blizzard.
We're extremely lucky to
have
that.
We are very fortunate, dude, and I hope our listeners enjoy it and they appreciate the hard work that you do to get the guests that we're getting... And the legwork. It's amazing, dude. My hat's off to you also. I'm on the show, and I appreciate it. You know what I'm saying? So,
well, I've been lucky. I've been lucky a couple times, and I wouldn't have gotten Bednarek if it wasn't for you. So we'll stop patting each other on the back here. And
hey, I'd rather be looking and good any day.
Yeah. Well, I'll take that from you, you know. I'll take luck any day. So with the doggy bag last week, we had, of course, Ben Lesnick on. This is our second week in a row with him, an amazing guest. And so we asked Ben, you know, some of his wall of crazy ideas. Is wall of crazy a thing, or is that just a term that, like, literally came out of Star Wars?
Wall of crazy is the conceptual wall that a lot of studios have, and it's real.
So it's not just a SWTOR
thing.
No.
It's not just a SWTOR thing. Wall of crazy is... You know, all game companies have that wall of things that they would love to see in the game, that they would love to put in the game. Blizzard's had a wall of crazy for years.
Okay.
You know, so no, that's a term that's an actual, that's an entity. That's a thing.
Yep, that's a thing. Okay, so the wall of crazy, we asked Ben about that, and then we in turn asked that as our doggy bag question. So before we even get into that, on the RSI forums, a guy by the name of Viperion actually posted... gameplay footage of Space Vikings. I mean, drop the microphone, walk off the stage at that point. He found Ben Lesnick's childhood insane game, Space Vikings, and posted a video of gameplay of it.
That's pretty... That's it.
It's
a
win. I looked at it, and I was like, this looks like... a game that I would have enjoyed back in the day, but I honestly think you had to be a special dude to really get into it.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of text and then selecting different options and not a whole lot of anything going on. And then suddenly out of nowhere, there's like a picture of a Star Destroyer. Like, what is happening? I had approximately a 0% understanding of how this game worked after watching 10 minutes of this YouTube video.
Very intellectual game.
It didn't make any sense to me.
But I'm saying you had to be a very intellectual to understand.
This thing was not something that your average 12-year-old would wander into. So I can only imagine what Ben was doing with this thing. I'm sure that he dedicated like just thousands of hours to this thing. It was it was nuts. Anyway, so other than that, on the RSI forums, I'll start with Sam Corwin. Anything in the Midwest region would be awesome. It seems like the big gaming events are always on the coast. I have always had that gripe. I think that's unfair, but I get it. You know, the coasts are more tourism friendly. I mean, nobody's coming to Des Moines or Iowa City for something like this and having a big thing unless it's somehow been established forever, kind of like whatever they have at Indianapolis.
Right.
What do they have at Indianapolis?
Couldn't tell you, bro.
It's like a big gaming convention or something.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, the next time it happens, we're going
It's like a card gaming convention.
Then never mind. You said gaming. You got to specify preemptive.
Well,
gaming and card gaming
like
are
Dungeons
totally
and Dragons.
Do
and
I look
Magic
like a Dungeons
together?
And Dragons guy to you?
All right. It's not E3. All right. It's its own thing. All right, you're up.
Okay, Game Whiz. Simple answer. Come down to San Diego Comic-Con. Game Whiz would... I think he would probably pee himself if they did that.
Yeah. You talk about your fanatic backers.
He's
probably one of the ones that is sending Sandy emails, except he hasn't donated $10,000.
Right.
Sandy, I'm really concerned about my Aurora here. I feel like you've made some changes to it that I don't agree with. Frisco, who is not from Frisco, apparently says, buy me a plane ticket and come to come visit CIG. I can crash on Ben's couch. I would like to see them stream the Wingman's helmet cam on Twitch or the like. That's actually a pretty good idea. That's not even Wall of Crazy. That's just a good idea.
Right. That is a good idea. That should be something that they maybe pay attention to for sure.
Because, I mean, that's just so unique. The fact that he wears a helmet cam around every now and then is fun.
Right. And that's a good... And again, that's me going back to using Twitch to your advantage. You know,
that's... Yeah, it's unorthodox, right?
And don't script it. Let it just happen as it happens. You know, obviously, if you're doing something you don't want out... He needs to know not to go in that door, but don't script it. Don't let even people know. Just slap the camera on a Wednesday at freaking 11 o'clock and let him roam.
Yeah, do a post edit of it. Right? If you find something on there you don't like, edit that part out. But let the rest of it... But nobody yes. know this dude's going to run around with this thing on.
Right, totally.
Exactly.
Xander 9, can we have a new port of Wing Commander with DFM module?
So he had this whole thing where he wanted to shoot Chris Roberts in the DFM module... I think in like old Wing Commander style, like a port of the game. Apparently, they've been porting these Wing Commander games onto the newer systems like forever. And so you can play Wing Commander in all these, you know, various iterations. You know who really would know this is Ben Lesnick, who's played it on every system ever made.
Correct. Yeah.
So, yeah, but that would be. That would be interesting. I mean, it probably cost them like all of like $100 to develop it too, you know. So, I could see that. The downside of this Wall of Crazy idea for community events turned into, hey, CIG, come to X.
Yeah,
and X
exactly.
was my hometown, you know.
and the Wall of Crazy was really meant for like large ideas, things in-game, things like that, or how would you... You know, promote it.
Yeah.
Not come visit me. More like, what would you do? You know, like, for instance, I think they should go to the Lincoln Memorial and put big banners on top of it.
I think they should sponsor the mission to Mars.
You're nuts.
That maybe wasn't a great question, but I was curious to see if I could throw
I think
around
you caught her off guard.
I really did. I really did.
And she was like, what? But anyway, you're next. Because I don't want to say that name.
Suoja Karoin.
Ah! You said no. Like I would.
Karoin? Karoin. Yeah.
Suoja Karoin.
Sounds very Japanese, doesn't it?
Suoja but it says Karoin. Anywhere in Europe, so...
And he says anywhere in Europe, so who knows? Maybe it's probably, like, Polish.
Ken Shadow. Since they are in Austin, I'd love to see SXSW.
You don't know what that means, do you?
No clue.
South by Southwest.
They want to see a booth in South by Southwest at Game Expo.
Yeah. South by Southwest is a big thing. It's not really a gaming thing, though.
Well, see, that's the thing with DragonCon.
That's what I was going to say. It's a very good right. example.
It wasn't a gaming... But I like DragonCon better than the other cons or any of the other things is because it is completely and totally encased by the fans.
Yeah.
And that is where I feel I had such a great. I hope we do go down there. You know, we've talked about going down there, man. I really hope that me and you let's just do it. Let's just go. The two of us go down there. Let's just go, dude. Let's go down there, take video cameras. Let's talk to people. Let's get hooked up with Star Citizen, do some live interviews. I'm stopping.
I'll tell you, after a couple interviews with key people over. At CIG, I think that, you know, we're going to have to go.
I think we should go, dude.
It's become a thing. We are a thing now.
It's pretty awesome. But
yeah. Grimlaking. Grimlaking?
Grimlaking. Yeah, it's
Come to the upcoming Dallas Comic Con. Yada, yada. Next.
Raisin, which, by the way, I like raisins. I would like a CIG-sponsored event on board the ISS for the purpose of immersion.
You know what the ISS is?
Yes.
Okay, so having, this is what I'm talking about. This is the answer I was looking for.
Right.
Taking somebody from CIG and putting him on the International Space Station is Wall of Crazy.
That is the tip of the spear.
Yes,
of all of
that's it. What I'm looking for. So sending, I don't know, red shirt intern up and putting him on that box.
Could you imagine
putting tin can, putting a dude up there who like clearly doesn't want to be there with a Star Citizen t-shirt on?
Here you go. It's day 3, and I don't know which way's up anymore.
I don't speak Russian.
They keep looking at me and pointing at my head.
All in Russian.
I'm so scared.
Oh, that would be the best thing ever. That's an excellent wall of crazy idea. Thank you very much, Raisin. That's your winner right there. Although, this guy's name was my favorite too. Armand Hammer.
That's good. That's good, bro.
And he says something in Chicago. I would do something in Chicago. That's close. We could do that.
Yeah. Thanatos, which, mind you, is one of my favorite Smite gods. But once a year or every 6 months, each of CIG Studios has an open day for backers to come in and visit, party with the devs. Now, you can actually...
You can do it, right. Yeah, like they said, you can do this.
Yeah, once a month. They do it once a month. So, Thanatos, bro, call them. And I know that sounds weird, but call them. Set it up. They'll tell you when they're doing it, on what day of what month, and just go. So your wall of crazy is actually doable, which is, I think, even more awesome.
It sounded like they would pretty much let anybody in anytime, except that so many people call, they like to try to do it all at once.
Yeah, they try to kind of...
I mean, they're not like a locked operation here. It's just no. That, you know, if you're going to come in, they might as well be ready for you and introduce you like to some people and stuff. It seems like they're pretty open to it.
Yeah, not to fall back on something earlier, but how cool would it be if Chris wanted a bodyguard, bro? That would be awesome.
That'd be pretty gnarly, man.
Dude, I would drop everything I'm doing right now and go beat up any person he pointed at. I swear to God.
Yeah, I mean, if I didn't hate being a lawyer, I'd offer that too, but I mean...
Well, my background's a little more... My background's
more entertaining.
Yeah.
It's a better story. It's a better, probably a better job. Yeah. No, dude, that'd be sweet.
Would.
I don't know if you'd be able to carry around your big guns, though. You'd have to have small concealed guns.
I only carry concealable weapons. My 40 cal SIG is the biggest gun I have, but it's a 40 cal.
It's a big gun.
Yes.
I don't know. I think I inherited like an old 22 from my father-in-law.
You should stop. What did the Banu kid have to say?
I had a slingshot once as a kid, but my dad made me take it back to the store.
Okay, find the nearest trash can and throw your man card in.
All right, fine. The Banu kid said, block party on my street. That's, all right. That's instead of come to my town. That's a legitimate response.
Yeah, I guess. Block party on my street. Then bring a spaceship with you. Temek. For every event, there should be a random pool of backers that are flown to the event if they live too far away or otherwise can't afford plane tickets.
I like this one.
I do like that because
I like
you get your fans there, and it not only are you bringing people that are part of the game industry or the company making the game, but you're bringing like your version of the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, just not as hot.
I think that this one is so good that I could see them actually spending backer money on this.
Well, it just makes sense because now...
And who would complain about that, right?
Right, because I mean, like, you sit them out in the crowd. You give them Star Citizen clothing. You give them buttons and pins and the badge holder cords. And they just walk around and strike conversations up.
Sure,
and
maybe
they
if
know
they
want to
work the booth for a while and, you know, right. Like help manage the lines or something.
That would be well worth just using them... Like, if they brought people in, like, for instance, you could bring me and Sonny down there for Dragon Con.
Yeah,
but
like,
anyway,
be an intern. I mean, they could put you to work, for God's sakes, and people would love
we'll
it.
We'll fly you down, but you'll work the booth for... If they told me they would fly me down and be part of Star Citizen at Dragon Con, I would work the booth from the time it opened to the time it shut.
Right, exactly.
You know, give me some bathroom breaks and let me grab a sandwich. But other than that, I mean, that's what I did at our booth in Dragon Con
sure. For
Mog Nation. Like, I wouldn't do that for... Yeah, dude, this is awesome. I like this.
Jansen Runo said he would like Chris, Eric, Ben, Rob, and Sandy to come to his house for a barbecue. That was a good one, but I'm going to take a second here. I'm going to actually go on the RSI forums here because somebody after this, and I want to make sure that I give him credit. So I'm going to have you do the next one here. You do the next one while I look this one up live on the forums here.
All righty. Well, we're going to move into the mognation.com. Chicken Vet something in Vancouver in summer that is inexpensive and gaming events.
By the way, that's impossible.
Yes, it is very impossible. I'd put in some kind of dogfighting tournament with training weapons, of course, and maybe a ground combat tournament as well. Cosmetic prizes, etc. You know, this kind of made me just think just now, what if at Dragon Con they brought the capabilities down for six people to sit down and go 3v3 in a dogfighting module right there live?
Like they just had six stations and
you know what I'm saying? And then the winning team.
Kind of like a demo, right?
Right, and the winning team out of the three would get a hat. But it's not about
awesome.
And put a big TV up over top where people can watch all the different views of different people, right? You could do like a six TV stack where it has each person's screen on it. So the people standing would watch these people dogfight and see them laughing and just having a great time.
Yeah, you like seeing somebody fly into an asteroid or something like
that. Not pay enough money for that, bro. That's perfect right there. You know, if one of your game cons, do something like that. Not only are you using the fans to show your product, but you're also making them just love you. And that's what RSI has been doing, man.
That's pretty good. It was the Banu kid. He said that he owns a barbecue company in Denver. So seriously, come to a block party on his street. So he's going to provide the barbecue.
I bet he knows where the nearest Girl Scout cookie setup is because they're probably in front of the 412 store down the street. I'm just saying. Is that not marketing genius right there?
There's been a lot of marketing genius in this show.
Yes.
We're all over this. Frankly, I don't know why we're not already hired. Just sitting here doing a podcast.
You know, the beautiful thing about it is the enjoyment. That's the beautiful part.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we haven't encountered a person with CIG that doesn't seem like somebody that I would grab a beer with, you know?
That is the part that blows my mind, is the fact that every single person I've come in contact with, and there's been several, just seem like a person I could go, hey, let's go grab a beer, and they'd be like, yeah, let's go. You know, I mean, just they're not head in the clouds. They're very grounded people, it seems.
No, surprisingly grounded. Like when she talked about the continuation of the unorthodox marketing and all that stuff, I was like, wow. You know, you guys realize that you're the biggest crowdfunded thing ever. You have like what are they up to? Like 40 some million dollars. I haven't looked in a while either because
on yesterday, but I really wasn't paying it. I didn't look at that.
And they have this thing, and then when somebody comes in and they say they have no budget, like, what's that?
$40,200,000.
That's crazy. What's your budget? We don't have a budget. All right. You know, so. And I mean, I worked in the advertising industry.
You know, another thing I'd like to point out is that the Star Citizen population has doubled since I joined.
Yeah.
Because when I came in, it was around the 200,000 mark.
That was another good answer that she gave, is that it's a lot of new money.
Yeah.
And does that not make you feel good, right?
Well, you remember how you were saying, are we seeing this money influx from the people who are actually been here for the long haul and are just throwing more money at it, or are we getting new money? Well, there was your answer.
That was my answer.
Five shows back.
So. I answered like three different entire shows worth of questions with her.
Which is pretty awesome, because not only is it good to ask the questions, but it's also, you know, good to come back with the answers eventually, and here we are.
It seems like they had thought of the answers as well, too. Like, they had thought of these questions and looked for these answers. And they get all the metrics that we don't get, but...
Yeah. I mean, who knows if they listen? I mean, reality of it, do I think Sandy and all those at RSI listen? No, I don't. But I'm hoping some of them do, because... It seems like sometimes when we say something on a show, it'll stimulate something on the forums, and it just seems like it grows. And for us to sit here and be humbled to feel like we might influence just a tip of something in this game is just phenomenal for me.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting as far as the getting doing a show and asking some big picture question and then having somebody on and actually getting the answer is enough to make your head spin.
I don't know what to do. I'm going to be honest with you. This show, the last two shows with Ben, which I'd already talked to Ben. I had a rapport with him, so I knew mm-hmm. how Ben was going to be. So there was no surprise with Ben other than what was talked about, you know, because I knew he was a really awesome dude and really down to earth. With Sandy, I really didn't know, you know, what we were going to get, what type of person she was, because I'd never talked to her, you know, person to person.
Right.
And to have her come in and just openly answer questions and just laugh. And when you get a guest on and they laugh with you, and there's not just that awkward silence, that's a, you know what I'm saying? That's a person that has, you know, for me, it's a person that has a personality. You know,
absolutely.
If you crack a joke and the person doesn't laugh and they're sitting there thinking, wow, this guy's stupid, then we're in the wrong company. You know what I'm saying?
Or it could be that you're just not funny. You know, that's always
funny,
the fear,
bro.
Too, right?
We're funny. It's I don't like, give, no.
Oh, I forgot. I'm not funny. Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's the next guy.
Right. That's the other Star Citizen podcasts. So for the new doggy bag, we're going to ask you the question that we asked Sandy. With unlimited resources, and I'm talking unlimited. Go crazy on me here. How would you market Star Citizen? I swear to God, the first person that says, come to Iowa City, I'm going to, that's it. You're done. You're banned. I want to hear some off-the-wall marketing ideas, because if you can top Sandy Gardner's ideas, and I don't know. It seems like she's got her own wall of crazy that she doesn't let other people even in on.
And we'll forward her what you say.
There you
we'll
go.
Pack
forget
it in
good
an email.
Ones. Yep.
If you give a good one, we will literally put it in an email and send it to Sandy.
I love it. iTunes reviews. We had 3 new iTunes reviews. I love it. Oh, my favorite. We had one from Moral Dilemma. Ki-Fi left one. I had no idea that Ki-Fi hadn't left me an iTunes review. And Psy Soldier, PSI. I assume that's Psy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, psych, like a psychosis-style person.
Right. Actually, that's PSY. Sorry, dude. Gotta spell check you on that.
Why don't you just shut up and read your stupid
okay,
comment?
Okay, fine. So Psy Soldier says that he wants more episodes. And, you know, I never really bring this up, but about every 4th or 5th review we get says, I wish you guys were on weekly. I wish you were this and that and the other. And, you know, we've just never been that.
Mm-hmm.
And so
spontaneous.
People talk about, you know, their 100th episode on a podcast and things like that. And you know how far away we are from 100 episodes? Like, I think the entire life of Sonny's Diner, which has got to be approaching 3 years now, and I've got, like, 57 episodes. I mean, people.
It's a spontaneous thing, man.
People wrap up 100 episodes sometimes inside like a year or like 2 years or a year and a half. And I just, you know, we've just never done it that way. And I don't know whether. If we want to do a show, we do a show. And we try to keep it every 2 weeks. We really do. But it's just not something that I'm going to push.
I think a big thing, too, you know, as our listeners can understand, you know, if you put something on a schedule, and this isn't a cop-out, this is reality. If you put something on a schedule and it's a, say, every Tuesday night thing, it begins to be monotonous. You can tell people lose that, you know, they lose that crispness. I feel that our show, since I've come on, it has the same edge to it every show.
Yeah,
and
I don't want to ever
because,
mail it in, you know?
Right, and that's because we do it. We enjoy it, and it's something we look forward to. And that's probably the difference. Yes, we don't have as many shows as said other podcasts do, but we feel we bring the quality with us because we are so – I mean, like when Sonny contacts me and says, hey, let's do a diner, it's an exciting thing. And I get hyped up. I start, you know, looking at some things. I start, you know, catching up on my, you know, news and everything, and I make sure I'm ready to go. And it's an exciting thing to do, and it's still that way. And that's what's important. And as long as I think we keep that and we give that to our listeners, yes, we don't do as many shows, but we feel we bring you, you know, just genuine feelings, you know, and we put a lot into it.
Yeah, that's my attitude. If I don't ever want to mail it in, I want to make sure that every show that we bring to you guys is good, solid, quality show from top to bottom. And if we end up doing 2 shows in 1 week, that's fine with me, so long mm-hmm. as we have, you know, the ability to bring you that same quality. And there will be times when, you know, something massive will drop, and we'll say, what are you doing tonight? Because we're doing a diner, because we got to talk about this. And we'll get on, and we'll do it, and that's fine, and I got no problem with that. But, you know, that's the attitude around here is we're going to bring you a quality show every single time. And if that means that we got to do it once every 2 weeks or so, then that's just what we're going to do. So apologize for not bringing out more episodes. Appreciate you listening, though, and thank you very much for the iTunes review, and thank you very much for making it a five-star review. That's we've gotten a ton of five-star reviews, and it seems like people really, you know, they really like what we're doing, so we're going to keep doing it. And we're going to keep doing it as long as we have fun, and I'm having a blast, so. G, you got any final words for anybody here?
Be nice to the next guy that's not as good as you.
That's right. We're available. Yeah, we're available on mognation.com. We're also on facebook.com/Sonny's Diner. We're on Twitter at Garrar, G-A-E-R-R-A-R, and at Sonny's Diner. And that's it for me. So on behalf of our guest, who was Sandy Gardner tonight, we thanked her many, many times, and I'm sure I will send future emails thanking her as well. On behalf of Garrar, thank you very much, Garrar, for coming on tonight. Had a great time.
Same here.
Good deal. And so, as always, I bid you good gaming.
Sonny's Diner is available on mognation.com and iTunes. Follow Garrar on Twitter at Garrar and Sonny at Sonny's Diner. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Sonny's Diner. Nights are warm and the days are young.